You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 470 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland. It is officially Monday morning. It is well into Monday morning, actually. Regardless, this is a late tip-off in Los Angeles on this fine evening. And for those of you who might be new listeners, the entire bulk of this podcast will be a breakdown of what transpired on Sunday night between the Hawks and the Lakers in Los Angeles, with the Hawks losing by 1 point to LeBron James and company. Regardless, it would have been a late podcast considering the 9:30 p.m. Eastern time tip-off, but also had some just life stuff happening, so I missed the first about two and a half, three quarters of this game live. Had to go back and watch it, and given all that transpired in the fourth quarter, didn't really have a whole lot of time to catch up, so I had to go back and do a full watch after this one. So here we are at, I guess it's about 2:30 or so at the moment, a.m. Eastern time. So please forgive me if I sound, battered and bruised at this point. My throat's a little bit gone, and we're battling through it on this fine evening. So one of those things where this is a lot of fun, honestly. The Hawks ended up losing this game by 1 point, and that's, of course, not the result that the team wanted. But at the same time, they played well in this game. You know, the Lakers are not a perfect team by any means. The Lakers did a lot of things to allow the Hawks to hang around when they probably could have put them away a few times. With that said, Atlanta took control at times, and that was enough to push this game all the way to the brink of an upset victory and had a lead in the final minute. And that's a pretty interesting game from start to finish. So we'll kind of go through this game as we always do here on the podcast, and then we'll break down some individual stuff later on. But also, I would encourage you guys to read what Jeff Siegel, I believe, is writing as we speak, but will have written by the time you probably hear this on Monday morning. He was on the scene. Jeff is from San Diego, so he was actually able to pop up to Los Angeles and was on scene for this one. So he wrote our normal sort of daily follow-up piece to the game for Monday morning on PeachtreeHoops.com. So please go ahead and read what Jeff had to say, I should say, considering he was in the building. And that's definitely one that you should be bookmarking for the future. So with that said, let's go through what transpired here on Sunday evening. The Hawks actually got off to a great start. It was a 9-0 run for Atlanta to open this game, and the Lakers were kind of kicking the ball all over the place. With that said, the Lakers kind of dominated the rest of the first quarter. Actually, you know, it was a 9-0 run to open the game for the Hawks, and the entire first quarter score was 28-22 Lakers. So a 28-13 run after the Hawks got out fast in this game. Atlanta struggled to shoot in the first quarter. They were 1-6 from 3 and 8 of 23 from the floor, had 6 turnovers. They did force 8 turnovers from the Lakers. That was a theme the whole first half. The Lakers had 15 turnovers in the first half. That was a positive. That was definitely a positive for Atlanta, taking the ball away and kind of getting their offense going through Los Angeles, kicking the ball around, as we mentioned a second ago. In fact, in the entire first half, the Hawks were able to get 19 points off those 15 turnovers from the Lakers, and that proved pretty pivotal to hanging around for the most part in this game. Atlanta did not shoot the ball well in the first half, I will say. 4 of 19 from the floor, sorry, from 3 in the first half. In the second half, that definitely righted the ship to a great deal. And in fact, the Hawks shot 9 of 18 from 3 after halftime. But the first half was marred by that lack of shooting from Atlanta. And from there, kind of, they were able to hang around just because of the fact that the Lakers kind of let them. There was another 10-3 run in the second quarter. So the Hawks started the first and second quarters off very well. And, you know, to their credit in this game, avoided the disaster quarter. The third quarter had the feel of one. They actually went down by 15 in the third at one point, but then a nice little mini flurry from Kent Bazemore in the third quarter made back-to-back threes late in the third and was able to cut the lead back down to 9. So there wasn't actually that, you know, absolute disaster quarter. If you are a Hawks fan that's been following closely this year, you would certainly note that the team almost always has one quarter that's just kind of sinks them in the game. Obviously, the third quarter was the worst quarter, and just on the scoreboard, they lost the third quarter by 10 points, but it wasn't as if they just gave the game away in the third quarter in the way that they have at times this season. So credit to them for that. In terms of the machinations, the end of this game was filled with them. I will say, before we get to the very, very end of this game, there was a hilariously bad missed goaltending call that got a lot of attention. JaVale McGee blocked a Trae Young shot that was it was definitely a goaltend from JaVale with about 6 minutes to go. That made the rounds, actually kind of zooming ahead to the end of this game, there was a controversial, I guess, in quotes, non-goaltending call at the very, very last play of the game where I thought it was pretty clearly not goaltending on Tyson Chandler that preserved the win for the Lakers. But that kind of harkened people back to the non-goaltending call that was not made. With about 6 minutes ago, that was definitely goaltending. So that's kind of, you know, I guess one for two in the Hawks' favor, and they didn't get the call on either one. But one of them was the right call. One of them was not the right call. But anyway, that's just sort of an aside. There was a massive run by the Hawks in the fourth quarter, take a lead. There was, it actually ended up being 27-14 to open the fourth. Trae Young was massive in that first 7-8 minutes of the fourth quarter. He had 11 points and 4 assists in that 7-minute stretch, gave the Hawks a 4-point lead with a very, very, very deep 3-pointer after a couple of plays that he made. He was the best player on the court there for that stretch of time that ended up being very, very big for Atlanta. He did have a couple blunders late in this game. There was one I'm seeing in my head particularly that was kind of ugly, and at least one really, really, really bad shot in my opinion. But still, Trae was very, very good in that stretch and really was very good for most of the night. With the Hawks up by 2 with less than 2 minutes to play. By the way, before we get to this, this game was messy. That's sort of an aside that I probably should have started with. This was a messy, messy basketball game. There was not a lot of pretty basketball. Trae Young had some moments. LeBron always had some moments. Even Bazemore and Prince had some moments. But for the most part, this is an ugly sort of rock fight kind of game. I know it was played in the hundreds because of the fact that they played at a reasonably fast pace, but neither team was good offensively in this game, and that just needs to be said, especially down the end. There was not a lot of execution happening on either side of the floor, but with the Hawks up by 2 with less than 2 minutes to play, there was a very apparent kick ball that was not called. Ended up being a turnover for Trae Young on that kick. I guess if you're making the argument that I believe it was LeBron's foot did not move, I thought it was a kick, and kind of everybody thought it was a kick ball in the moment, but it ended up going to be a run out for the Lakers. Ended up being a bucket to tie the game, and then Kent Bazemore in frustration got a technical foul that proved very costly with 1:34 to go. I said this at the time on Twitter, but Kent's a guy that I like, and I think his contributions are often underrated, but that was a spot where you just can't take a technical foul in a tie game with 1:34 to go. If you're a veteran, you just cannot have that technical foul. I understood his frustration, and I think everyone probably did, but that's just something you cannot do there, and he actually did it. And at the end of the game, obviously the Hawks lose by 1 point. That kind of looks even worse in retrospect. From there, Kuzma made the technical foul free throw for the Lakers. On cue, Trae Young finds Vince Carter for a dunk, which is kind of crazy. That was a fun one. Vince kind of getting in the time machine as he has a couple times this season to get a dunk to go back up by one. I will say the Hawks probably got away with a foul call. They got away with a foul that was not called against Josh Hart on the next possession with about 48 seconds left, but that was not called. A shot clock violation then ensued for the Lakers. Atlanta had the chance to kind of maybe not put the game away, but had a chance to pull away. We're not able to get that bucket on the other end of the floor. But Vince Carter did a pretty good, solid job on LeBron James, defending him in crunch time. A lot of that, it was kind of funny to see the Hawks throw guys like Vince and Amari Spellman at LeBron James, and with some reasonable effectiveness. Kind of funny. Those guys are not known for their defense right now, especially Vince, but, Vince is a crafty guy, and he was in the right place at the right time for the most part. Did a pretty solid job there. Even if it was kind of amusing to me to see that kind of parade of guys against LeBron in the final minute of this game. James was then fouled with 19.9 seconds to go, and the Lakers down by 1. He actually missed both, which is kind of crazy to see LeBron do that. Not the first time this season either. LeBron's got kind of a mental block going on at the line, I think, right now, but misses both. But Kyle Kuzma gets an offensive rebound. He misses the putback, but LeBron dunks on a putback with 15 seconds left. That proved to be the pivotal game winner. I will say that was an absolutely awful box out and an effort play from Amari Spellman. Spellman wasn't terrible in this game necessarily, but he had a couple of just those really inexplicable rookie plays, and that was one of them. A bad box out, basically a non-box out that allowed Kuzma to get that rebound, and then LeBron gets the dunk in retrospect, give the Lakers the win. Because on the other end of the floor, Trae Young, does the right thing, takes the last shot on the road. That's kind of what you want to do. Got in the lane very nicely, put up a floater, but Tyson Chandler is very, very long. Even in his old age, he timed that well, played it well. It was not a goaltend, in my opinion. Trae, it wasn't a bad shot. I mean, it's kind of, I'm not trying to blame Trae at all for that. It's just one of those things where it didn't work. I understood what he was trying to do, get a floater off, sort of escape. If you make it, you can kind of get out of there. And one of those things where, it just didn't work out, and was not a foul, was not a goaltend. It was the right result in the final minute, but the Hawks lose this game by 1 point, and that's sort of the end of that. So, you know, all told, before we get into the individual stuff, the Hawks, a 100.6 offensive rating in this game. Not anything that's terribly exciting. 43% from the floor, 35% from three. Looks better than it was because of the fact that they made 9 of 18 in the second half. But they got to the line only 13 times versus 24 from the Lakers. Did make 11 of 13 of those. Had 25 assists and only in quotes, 19 turnovers. But 19 turnovers for 30 points is going to be bad recipe-wise. It's a little bit less than what the Hawks have done at times this season. But at the same time, they kicked the ball around a little bit too much in this game. Defensively, though, they did hold their own. A lot of that was the Lakers doing weird Lakers things. But at the same time, a 101.5 defensive rating, that's pretty good, and you're gonna win a lot of games doing that if you're the Hawks this season. They held LeBron in relative check. LeBron had 26 points on 10 of 20 shooting. He was not like this overwhelming force. Obviously, he was the best player on the court, as he always is, or at least almost always is. But at the same time, he didn't just absolutely dominate this game. And aside from Kyle Kuzma, who had a nice game with 18 and 8, there wasn't like a singular guy that kind of gave the Hawks fits. Lance Stephenson had a nice run in the third quarter when he made a couple of threes, but he was bad in this game, as he almost always is. And yeah, it was just sort of a weird game in which the Hawks... You could probably argue that the Hawks outplayed the Lakers, frankly, but the Lakers just have a little bit more talent. They had the home court advantage. They were able to escape with that 1-point victory in this spot. So before we get to the individual stuff, I do want to take a moment to remind everybody to subscribe to the podcast. If you've not done that already, I would really appreciate it if you did it on your podcast platform of choice, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify has the podcast, Google Play has the podcast, Player.fm has the podcast, wherever you like to, Overcast, all those places that you might like to listen to podcasts, we should be there. If we're not there, please let me know that, and I'll get that fixed for you. But leave 5-star feedback. Please tell your friends as well. Check out the entire Locked On Podcast Network for all your podcast needs in the sports realm. So we're back to talk about the individuals in this game, and it was a mixed bag, to be sure. We'll start on the bench. Not a whole lot of bench minutes, actually. It's kind of funny. The starters have been maligned recently, but they were better in this game, to be sure. The bench was not quite as effective, starting with Kevin Huerter, who had a rough game. 0-6 from the floor, 0-3 from 3 for Huerter. Only one assist in the box score, 3 fouls. Didn't do a whole lot. Didn't play a whole lot either. Only 12 minutes for Huerter, which is down from where he's been the last few games. Part of that's probably just the fact that, you know, it was sort of a bright lights game for Kevin Huerter. He's been pretty mature and pretty adept at avoiding kind of the rookie mistakes this year, but he had a few in this game. It wasn't like he was a disaster, but the shots just weren't falling, and he didn't have too much going on. I didn't think he was that bad based on the shooting numbers that you see here, but not the greatest performance from Huerter in the world. Also, Alex Poitras only had one stint. It was in the third quarter. He had 3 minutes of play. He only took one shot, but the Hawks were -9, and he never returned to this game. A little bit surprised by that. You know, Poitras is a guy who plays with force, and I thought would have probably been a decent option to throw at LeBron at some point along the way, but Pierce didn't see that, which I'm not upset about it. It was one of those things where it kind of made sense at the time. He didn't play well in his one stint, and that was kind of the end of that. Vince Carter, 21 minutes. 2-6 on the floor, 0-3 from 3. It's kind of rough to play Vince when he's not making shots, but, you know, credit to him defensively. He played well against LeBron at most times. He was on the floor late. You know, I could probably quibble with that a little bit, but at the same time, there really isn't a better option necessarily for the Hawks. It basically came down to, in my opinion, Carter versus DeAndre Bembry. I was okay with going with Carter because he was just kind of doing what he does, doing vet stuff, and not really taking anything off the table necessarily, considering he was able to hold up defensively for the most part in crunch time, but probably a little bit more than you want to play him, but I also understood it at the time. Bembry, you know, the aforementioned Bembry, 3-6 from the floor, 0-2 from 3, 3-4 from the free throw line, had 9 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists. A couple of bad non-finishes, at least one bad non-finish at the rim from Bembry, but I thought he was a little bit better in this game. He had been struggling for the most part in the last 3-4 games, but a couple of nice plays from him defensively, as he almost always provides. But I thought Bembry was pretty solid as a two-way force in this game, especially when compared to the way he's been playing recently, which is he had been kind of struggling before this game. Miles Plumlee was -21, which looks bad, but I actually thought Plumlee was pretty solid again in this game. 4 points, five rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in 15 minutes for Plumlee. You know, he was on the floor during some of the bad run from the Lakers. At the same time, I don't really blame Plumlee. Like, it's not like he was great in this game, but it wasn't a situation where he was bad, and I did have a problem with him playing, especially with Dwayne Dedmon out of this game for personal reasons. He is awaiting a child with his girlfriend. I believe that's their first child, so the Hawks announced that coming into the game. He would be unavailable, and as soon as you see that Dedmon was not going to play, you kind of assumed that Plumlee was going to play, and he did, and I thought he played at least reasonably solid basketball, even if the numbers weren't quite as effective as they had been the last two games. And finally, Jeremy Lin, Struggled a little bit in this game. 6 points, 2 assists, and a rebound for Lynn. Had 2 turnovers as well, minus 17 in 15 minutes. 2-7 from the floor. Did not take a three. I got to the line twice. You know, Lynn wasn't as bad as the numbers probably indicate here. I will say he wasn't as good as the numbers indicated the last couple of games. It's one of those spots where he really had a couple of really nice moments in fourth quarters when the game hasn't been competitive. In this game, I thought Lynn wasn't terrible. He was fine. It wasn't a situation where he was just ghastly, but he also wasn't very good, especially in the first half, I didn't think, and just something to follow for the future. You know, I know a lot of people have a close eye on Jeremy Lynn. So everything is dissected a little bit to the nth degree, but this is not a game where he should have played more, that's for sure. There's been a few games in the recent past where he played well enough to where he probably could have played more, and it would not have been a problem. This is not one of those games. He wasn't awful, but at the same time, didn't really bring a whole lot to the table for Atlanta, and that's something I have to say on this podcast. So moving on to the starters, Amari Spellman was the one guy who did not score double figures. He had 2 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, and a block, and a turnover in 28 minutes. 1 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. I mentioned before the worst moment of the game for Amari was that non-box out in the fourth quarter. He had a couple of like sort of brain fart plays where he gets kind of trucked over, which he shouldn't do. He's a strong guy. He isn't the greatest athlete in the world right now, but at the same time, he does play with force when he wants to. And his motor is good, so it's just kind of I think it's a mental thing for Spellman at certain times, which is not a problem. He's a rookie. It's one of those things that's going to happen. And he's not someone who probably should be playing 30 minutes in a game in a close-fought game for an NBA team right now. But you know, credit to him, he is battling. I didn't think he was as bad as the numbers indicate. You know, 2 points on 1-7 shooting looks bad. They'll be nice when a shot just doesn't fall for Spellman, but he did play hard for the most part, and the 8 rebounds were helpful. You know, defensively, he competed for the most part as well. I thought he did a decent-ish job on LeBron when he was asked to do that. That's a really tough matchup for anyone, especially him. But I thought Spellman was not as bad as the numbers indicate. I thought he was pretty solid for the most part, even if there were a couple of blunders that you kind of remember leaving this game. Alex Lynn, 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 4 turnovers for Lynn in 27 minutes. He was 8 of 16 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3, took 4 threes. Pretty crazy to see Alex Lynn take 4 threes in a game. You know, he was sort of the opposite of guys like Spellman and Lynn and, you know, even Carter, guys who were better than their numbers indicate. Lynn was not as good as his numbers indicated. The 17 and 11 makes it look like he played really well. I thought he was okay for most of the game. Most of his 17 points were created directly from other people. He did make a three, which was nice, but a couple of just, you know, wide open dunks, 3-4 of those probably in this game were just kind of stuff that he didn't necessarily create for himself. I didn't think he was terrible either, but defensively, I do think this is a classic spot where 17 and 11 looks great. I don't think he played that well, but he was better than he had been because the last like 3-4 games, Lynn had been really struggling. So good to see him get back in the mix a little bit with some positive contributions on both ends of the floor. He wasn't beaten up by JaVale McGee, which is nice to see. And I thought Lynn was, all things considered, pretty good. Probably just not as good as the 17 and 11 would probably tell you in a vacuum. Torian Prince, 35 minutes for Torian. A nice bounce back game from him offensively with 23 points and 7 rebounds, 2 steals, and an assist. Did have 5 turnovers, which is just too many. Again, by the way, Alex Lynn, same thing. 4 turnovers is too many for him, but 5 for Prince is ugly with the ball in his hands. But, you know, offensively, he always made some shots, gave decent effort for the most part offensively. There were a couple of, again, I know I say this all the time, but defensively, there were a couple of really bad moments from Prince, especially away from the ball, where he just falls asleep and kind of just loses attention span. But he did play better in this game than he has in the last couple of, in the last few, I should say, probably more than a couple, but good to see Prince bounce back a little bit in this spot. Kent Bazemore, same thing. 21 points for Baze, 5 steals, 3 assists, 4 rebounds, only 1 turnover. He did have a block as well. He was a stat sheet stuffer in this spot. 7 of 12 from the free throw line. Sorry, 7 of 12 from the field. 3 of 5 from the three-point line. 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Baze was just really good across the board, honestly. It was good to see him play well because he had not been playing well, much like Torian Prince. Those guys have been struggling in tandem, and it's really, really tough for the Hawks to get off to decent starts when Baze and Prince are both struggling. And they both played pretty well in this game, and I thought Bazemore was even better than Prince, both because he was giving effort defensively that he had not been giving the last couple of games, and he was very efficient offensively, did a lot of things well. And I thought Bazemore, you know, and for most of this game, I was going to say he was the best player on the court for the Hawks. You know, Trae Young took over the fourth quarter, I think on the whole had a bigger impact because of the way that he was able to kind of lead the Hawks back. But I mentioned before this, early in the podcast, that Baze made a couple of just huge threes in the third quarter that allowed the Hawks to keep chipping away at that lead and get back into contention. I would say Trae was probably the X factor, all things considered, but Bazemore was right on his heels for a guy who played very, very well in this game. And finally, Trae Young, 20 points, 12 assists, did have 4 turnovers, a steal, and a block. By the way, a block for Trae Young, and 2 rebounds. It was 8 of 18 from the floor, 4 of 8 from 3. An efficient game from Trae. He wasn't like, you know, crazy off the charts efficient as a scorer, but the 12 assists really, really help. You know, the fourth quarter, he was tremendous. There's no way around that. In fact, the entire second half, 15 points and 7 assists in the second half for Trae Young is pretty darn impressive. You know, he's not had too many games when he puts the entire four quarters together. He's a rookie point guard. That's to be expected. But, you know, he had 11 and 5 in the fourth quarter. That's going to get it done a lot of the time. And I thought he played very well on the whole. You know, first half, he wasn't spectacular. But defensively, he held up pretty well, probably better than he has in the last couple of games. To be fair, there really isn't a matchup that's going to just, you know, light him on fire on the Lakers right now. With that said, I thought he definitely did compete in this game. Trae seems to like the bright lights, which is something that I like about him, honestly. He likes the challenge. When guys go at him, he seems to rise up to that occasion a little bit. And I thought Trae was very, very good, all things considered. You know, the Hawks lost this game, but it definitely was not on Trae Young, who played very well in this spot. So, you know, again, on the whole, not a bad game at all for the Hawks. They were 11-point underdogs, and to get within one is kind of a win. You know, if you're a tanking enthusiast, you would like that the Hawks lost this game. If you were someone who wants the Hawks to win, they competed for 48 minutes, so you can't really be too upset. I know, you know, anytime you lose a game by 1 point and you have the ball in your hands at the end of the game, it can be kind of brutal in a lot of ways. And the Hawks now, with another loss, they are not exactly in prime position to make a playoff run. They're not 3 of 10. They're not 3 and 10, but still, they have to be happy with the way they played here. I mean, obviously, in the moments after the game, that doesn't always come through, but they played very well. And given that the challenge lies ahead with the Warriors on Tuesday night, yes, the Warriors on the road on Tuesday night, that's going to be a rough spot for anyone, especially the Hawks, and we'll see how they handle that, because the rest of the road trip is brutal when you have the Warriors, Nuggets, and Pacers, all of whom are better than the Lakers right now, and you're playing all three of those teams on the road. So we're not surprised anyone if the Hawks were 3-13 in a couple days, but still, this is a game that was honestly encouraging in a lot of different ways as the Hawks really competed. You know, they could have rolled over in the first quarter when they kind of let things down. They could have rolled over in the third quarter when they were letting things down, getting down by 15 points, and they didn't do that. They battled all night long, and that's a very, very encouraging thing. I know I'm saying that over and over again. It's kind of for a reason, because I know it can be sort of discouraging to see another loss for Atlanta. I thought they played very well in this game on the whole, and credit to the Hawks for battling for 48 minutes. So that'll do it for today's podcast. I know it's very, very late, so my apologies if you are someone who likes to listen to the podcast like at 11 or midnight when it goes up. This one's going to go up about 3-something, so please jump on. If you're already listening to this, I'm sure you know that at this point already, but this will be a Monday morning commute podcast. Hopefully you guys are listening kind of wherever you can, we will definitely take your ears, and it's really appreciated when people listen to the podcast, even in delay. If you want to listen to it like 3 podcasts in a row and kind of catch them all up, I totally get that too. They're usually pretty short. So thanks for listening to the podcast, everyone. I really, really appreciate it. Please also, I thank you for bearing with me for my all over the place demeanor on this fine evening. It is, I'm definitely tired. I'm sure it's coming through on the podcast, but it's one of those things where it's kind of a scatterbrained game, which kind of maybe plays into it a little bit. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for your listenership, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.